So the little bit about me, and probably the only relevant part of this slide, is that we've been working on our own in-house framework at Breakpoint called Application Evolution since about 2009. And we kind of backed some different technologies. There was a choice of pretty much going RPC-like, which at the time, real big, was XML RPC or REST. And so we backed the RPC course. We also were working primarily with WebSpeed because at the time, of course, there was no REST adapter in progress. In fact, that's when we first started talking about bringing in the JSON abilities, which we're glad to get in version 11. And along came the REST adapter. And so now we obviously have some, not competing technologies, but a nice set of options, we'll say. So from Breakpoint, we have our WebSpeed-backed framework. And now we have Progress's REST adapter. And of course, when we're talking to prospective clients looking to modernize, the first question, especially if they've upgraded to version 11, is, so what do I get from the REST adapter? What's the performance like between the other technologies? That, of course, always and inevitably comes down to that question of, well, how fast is it? Is it comparable? What? So that's what we're pretty much going to try to answer here, is the burning question of, is it worth the switch to REST for performance gains? And this is also coming from, if you were simply just doing plain AJAX with your existing web application with WebSpeed. Let's say you have a little .p sitting out on a WebSpeed server that's serving up something, and you've gone the route of kicking off AJAX requests from your front end, you're communicating back and getting your data dynamically from WebSpeed. Is it worth it performance-wise to make the jump over to REST? So we're going to talk a little bit about what is the OE REST adapters. There's actually way too much that I could possibly cram into this talk. That would probably be a whole other topic of how to set up the REST adapter and all of that. In fact, there's a lot of documentation already out on Progress Knowledge Base, and is what I followed to get most of this stood up. So I'm not going to cover that. I will cover, of course, a little bit of how I did the benchmarks, which is using a piece of software called JMeter. What exactly did we test? Of course, we're going to have some control tests, and then we're going to run our experiments. That means we're going to establish what it is we're actually testing. There were some failures along the way, so we're going to figure out where this actually works, where it doesn't, and of course, where your mileage will drastically vary. And of course, the benchmarking itself, we'll look at the results. We'll crunch the numbers as best we can and try to figure out what it is we can pull, what sort of information we can pull. So before I go too much further, who's actually using the REST adapter? Who knows what REST is? Okay, good. That's a lot more than I would have expected. For those who don't, do you know what a HTTP GET request or a POST request? Did you know there's also PUT and DELETE type verbs? Congratulations, you actually do know what REST is. So believe it or not, REST is not too difficult a concept to grasp. And what the REST adapter does is basically gives you, via those HTTP verbs, a way of describing what it is you want to do with the data that you are sending to this adapter. The adapter does, of course, it's similar to the Web Services adapter. It's included with OpenEdge, I'm going to say, around 11.1 or thereabout. It doesn't really matter exactly when it came in. If you've moved to OE 11, 11.3 is out, please upgrade. Right, does require a license for the app server component. It's because you will be running an app server behind the scenes. If you already have WebSpeed, then you have the app server component. So why would you use this? Well, if you're familiar with the WSA, that's going to get your data in and out as XML, and it's going to be SOAP. To do REST, you're primarily going to be talking JSON, which again, since Progress now has in OE 11, it's a logical choice. It's very cross-platform. The REST adapter uses Tomcat as the bridge. So in WebSpeed, you generally put IIS or Apache, something CGI compatible or IIS compatible in front of it. There's your WebSpeed Messenger, handles ushering all the requests back to the WebSpeed broker. For REST, it's Tomcat that does that bridging to your HTTP request. And then the REST adapter essentially handles all the plumbing back to your app server. And the idea is you're going to be serving many multiple little requests. This isn't supposed to be like in the WebSpeed world where you're generating a full page of data. You're responding to very distinct requests for data. And we're of course going to compare this to the CGI environment of WebSpeed. All right, JMeter. This is open source. It's a free tool. It's good for load testing. Perfect for what I'm doing here. It's jmeter.apache.org. If you've heard of Apache Bench, which is sort of a dumb way of testing, it basically just says, I'm going to put a load on a web server, and that's it. It's not too terribly smart about it. Certainly does not have any reporting capabilities, at least not built in. There are some other tools such as Siege, which is also another one of those, let's see how much we can throw at the server before it comes crashing to its knees, and others. And again, the reason why I went with this is it includes some built-in reporting tools, so it gives me nice, pretty graphs, just via a drag-and-drop interface, and I can say, oh, I want a graph on this particular test. So useful for building test cases. There's a lot of third-party plugins where you can not just ramp up and start hitting the server, but you can actually start stair-stepping, so you can incrementally load a number of concurrent users hitting your site, so you can simulate maybe early morning, peak midday, early evening, in the night, so you can stair-step your load testing. There's all kinds of loops you can run. There's all kinds of control structures that affect how it accesses your server. And so real quick, I'm going to go through it, and I apologize. These are sort of screenshots. I tried to blow them up as much as possible for those in the back of the room. I want to try and make this visible. But the way that JMeter works, all right, so JMeter, when you set it up, you create what they call a thread group. This is basically your load on your server. So it's going to consist of a number of threads or users, ramp up period in seconds. Like I said, this one's not going to do the stair stepping. It's just basically going to say over an X number of seconds, give me a simulation of this many requests against the server. And so you can set up as many thread groups as you want. I've got one here called OE REST users, one called WebSpeed users. Not shown is at the very top, you can actually say run the threads concurrently or run one at a time. So basically what I do is I'll run the OE user group, and then when that's done, it'll automatically start running the next set, which would be my WebSpeed users. And all of these little options here, basically there's you right click, and each option basically gives you a list of here's the things you can add. And so I want to add some request defaults. Here I can say my server name is localhost and it's port 8090 or 8080. For WebSpeed, it's just localhost, port 80. But basically it just sets all your defaults for those connections. The header manager, this is another way of sort of setting some defaults. In this case, I'm setting an accept encoding option to basically say, when you're doing your tests, tell the server that you can use gzip compression, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But you can set up other things here, such as if you needed to do some sort of domain authentication, you can set that header here. So that's useful for the REST adapter because it uses the Springs framework and the security in there, so you can set up your domain access and directly get everything plugged in here, and then you actually set up controller groups. And these controller groups, basically you can toggle these are your actual tests, and you can toggle them on and off. And so this one I call the 10x10 test, and I'll explain what all this is in a minute, but basically here's the path that it's going to get. Here are some URL parameters, because I'm going to do a GET request. If I would have selected POST, it would have given me an option for basically providing a POST document body. So all kinds of neat things that you can do with setting up these types of requests. It's not really simulating what a user would actually do as far as click, okay, I'm going to put in my first name and last name, hit the login button, get into the application, and then I'm going to click this option and that. This is more of, I'm going to benchmark or test my backend API. So you can basically craft each one of these requests as if you are just hitting that API. You can give it, you know, a session ID or something like that, whatever your API requires. But really neat little tool, since it's free, figured to point that out. I liked it. All right, so what are we working with? I've got a quad core i7 with 16 gigs of RAM. My MacBook happily died a fiery death after Exchange last year. Would not boot up, so.
We've upgraded.
VMware running Windows 7, 32-bit. Figured let's just make this easy. We're not going to ramp up the memory too much, so I just have my typical 32-bit VM. Two CPUs, 2 gigabytes of memory. That's usually what I happily get away with on Windows 7, seems quite like it. All my connections are going to localhost. So I'm basically, I'm not even using the virtual network adapter inside of VMware. I'm just using Windows localhost. So we're kind of taking the network out of all these tests. Now here's, this might be a factor later on, as I discovered, but I rebooted my VM between tests. I didn't want to have one test, you know, leaving something out in memory that may affect the next test. So I figured the only fair way is I'm going to reboot. So essentially I'm coming up from a cold start each time that I run these tests. Yeah, so this might be critical later on, but it's all part of the process. This is what I did. I want to make it so that if you want to replicate this yourself, you know how to do it. So, static tests. So basically, I had a 10 by 10 JSON object. What do I mean by that? I just created a JSON object, flat file, 10 by 10, 10 rows with 10 fields each, and that ends up being a particular file size, and the data that I put in there was basically like a SHA sum or something like that, something of known length. So for the most part, the data is relatively about as uniform as I can get it, but just different enough that the server will still return it, and that each request is its own chunk of data. So my 10 rows of data in the temp table, 10 fields of consistent size, that works out to be about 4.4K. And I've got various, I got a 5x5, 20x20, all these are gonna be used for the testing. And of course, your mileage may vary. Again, this is my setup. Now memory and CPU allocated, and the way I figure it, all these tests mean about as much as assigning the miles per gallon to an electric vehicle. It's all going to be relative. All right. So baseline, 2,000 threads, so 2,000 users over 10 seconds, 4 kilobyte static file. Now this is the default configuration, so this is basically just Apache and Tomcat, just out of the box, no changes to anything. In fact, on Apache, I didn't even turn on keep alives or anything. I just left it out of the box. I'm just serving up a static file. So what did Apache do? Served out about 48 requests per second, 220 kilobytes per second, zero errors. We like that, we like zero errors. Tomcat, on the other hand, served out just a few more, and I'm just giving you a number, but these tests have been run multiple times, I can tell you. They're relatively consistent. Tomcat just slightly inked out Tomcat.
Is this so, the Tomcat that Margaret's giving you?
Yes, so this was started with ProTC Start. So yes, this is the Progress Tomcat.
You didn't tune it?
I did not tune anything.
How many agents?
No agents yet. So this is our baseline. This is our control. Yeah, I'm just wanting to see how quickly how much can we stress the HTTP daemons and see what they're capable of by themselves before we start bringing progress into this. All right, so the next thing I did was I actually started putting in some configurations in Tomcat. I believe it's in the server XML file. There's a section for your HTTP handler. Compression equals on. Real easy to set up. Apache mod deflate. Tons of instructions out there for it. So that took our 4 kilobyte file, knocked it down to 377 bytes. And this is just mod deflate level 1, so that's like the bare minimum. You can crank it up to 9, but the only thing you're really going to be doing is chewing the CPU to compress almost nothing extra out of it. Tomcat, just turning on GZIP. There's no real settings on that. It's either on or it's off. The only thing I noticed with that was maybe because of the file sizes I was using, there's actually a minimum value. So basically it won't turn on compression unless the files are at least X number of bytes large. So I made sure that was a real small number just to make sure the compression was always going to be used. So using that, optimized configurations, 160 requests coming out of Apache. Now the kilobytes per second is lower because we're sending through fewer kilobytes. And Tomcat also moved out just a bit more than Apache at 191. And so there you go. Your pretty graph to go with it. So there's your request per second. Look how much it jumps up. And this means nothing. This is something you should already be doing. If I hear you're having poor performance on your web servers, first thing I'm going to ask is, do you have compression turned on?
Yeah.
So. All right. So now let's start bringing progress into it. So what are we testing? Dynamic data packets. So I'm going to have a .p procedure on both sides, one on the app server, one on the web speed side, creating dynamic data packets, those 5x5s and 10x10s I was telling you about. CPU and memory, same VM, CPU and everything is the way it was. If you want to set this up yourself, of course I could crank out the CPU and see what happens, or the memory, but every time I change one variable, I have to rerun about 20 tests. So we're sticking with one hardware configuration. IO, we're not touching disk at all. We're not using a database. So therefore, I'm ruling out any sort of IO bottlenecks other than I just have the basic logging turned on for app server and web speed, which should be so minimal so as to not impact the results. All right, here we go. 10 agents each. So I think default is like 1 min, 10 max, 5 initial, 10 all the way through, min, max, initial. So we want to start them up. We want to keep them running. We don't want to have any results of, oh, we're waiting for agents to spool up. No, keep it the same for all of them. We're skipping the name server. Our CGIP. We'll get to that in a second, actually. We have to tweak our numbers, but I'm bypassing the name server, so I'm connecting directly to the web speed port. On the app server, you can do the same thing in your project runtime props. There's a connection string in there. It defaults to app server. Change it to app server DC and change the port from the name server port to your actual app server port. Boom, direct connection. No other tuning was done, so nothing else. I didn't change any dash parameters on anything. No changes to Tomcat. I didn't change like the initial heap size or anything like that. I didn't change the memory min max. Same for Apache. I left it as is. I'm running essentially a Windows box, so there's a WinMT workers thread. I think at most I just made sure that was enabled, but otherwise. Nothing else. Only making GET requests because I want to keep the data packets going in relatively small. I'm more concerned about what I can get out more than what I can put in. All right, same configuration. We're going to start with where we were before, 10,000 users over 10 seconds, 4 kilobyte packets. Oh, that's not good. So we got 85 requests per second, but we've got almost 80% errors. App server wasn't much better. We got more requests, as seems consistent, but we also got errors. Errors aren't good. Queued up the zero time. So, I logged down everything that I could just to see what was going on in the back end. But really, this doesn't mean much because those errors, that means something's going on. Basically, the tests are not completing, so therefore, these numbers are bogus. We need to try again. My goal is to push the limits, not exceed them. So let's back off and see what we can do. So cut that in half. 1,000 users over 10 seconds. Same data packet. Okay, better. We got maybe slightly more requests, but we're still getting errors. Again, I'm marking down everything I can, just see if it has any relation to what I'm getting through. So I'm looking at it from both sides, both what JMeter is telling me as far as how much it's pushing through versus what WebSpeed and AppServer are saying it's dealing with. All right, we still don't like this. We're going to try again.
And was that because you don't get paid?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to a point where I can actually fulfill all the requests, and then if I can not overwhelm the system, then I know that all my requests are coming back, and I should at least have something that I can work with.
The default is 500 requests queuing on the broker, right? I think on the default app server. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the default is.
I thought they called the rest too, was to not wait for a distributed 500.
And that's what I'm trying to make sure that I'm actually, and that's why I'm thinking, if I can not have any errors reported back by JMeter, that means that each one had an HTTP 200 and completed successfully, which means it may have queued, but eventually it was served. And that's what I want. I want all my requests, or at least as many as possible, to actually be served by something on the progress side. Makes sense?
Well, it does, but you're going to get errors unless you queue. The rest server originally wouldn't queue anything unless you set it to 1 versus 0. So that's why it's happening, because we had the same thing. We had 90% failure, so we queued that one queue, and then obviously it slowed down.
And that's something you change in the configuration?
Yeah.
But in that case, then I did not change anything because I just left it as is. And this is out of the box as installed after you run the 11.3 install. And this is 11.3.2 to be specific. All right, so instead of cutting back the number of users, I increased it to 20 seconds. And this actually came about after numerous tests. Just 10 seconds seems like it was a little too short, but 20 was good enough. I could run these tests for hours at a time and crunch numbers. But 20 actually gave me a bit more information. We'll get to those in a minute. So this finally got it down enough that all the requests were being served. Again, still slightly seeing AppServer eke out a bit more over WebSpeed, which could either be attributed to patching versus Tomcat, because Tomcat seemed to be consistently outserving just slightly the patching requests. Again, looking at statistics, everything basically came down, which is good. Nothing seemed to be queuing too much, but then again, as I'm going to show in a minute, some of these numbers, the queue depth and all that I thought might be important, weren't really giving me the results I expected. But in the interest of posting all the data out there, let you make your own decisions, put them in there. So HTTP servers obviously are keeping up better because, of course, what we're doing on the back end is we're either spooling up threads or forking and running processes waiting for WebSpeed to respond or AppServer to respond. So let's move on. So data packet sizes, so my 5x5, about 1K, 4K, 18K, 70K. Two things I really want to test here are what impact does the file size of the data packet return? How does that affect its performance? And latency, so based on how long it takes you to actually do all your business logic, your 4Eaches, how does that impact things? So we've basically got a matrix going of we'll ramp up file size with one set of server times and change the server time again, test again. And so basically I only went up to about 200 milliseconds, as you'll see soon why I only went up that far. And in order to trigger this latency, I'm not busy spooling or chewing up CPU. I'm trying to use the sub-second pause, so it should just pause. I didn't see any abnormal CPU usage while using that, so I figured that was better than putting some sort of busy loop. All right, so first, now these are all averages. So file size versus latency. So down here, everything is pretty good. So the darker lines are rest. So rest down here, clocking in well under, probably below 100 milliseconds or so, up through about 4K. And you see slowly, everybody starts ramping up. So as you start ramping up the file sizes, everybody starts slowing down. The web speed, this was web speed. Web speed took a little bit more of a curve upward very quickly. And this was just 1,000 users, 10 agents. So even with no latency on the back end, as you start cranking up that file size, it starts taking longer to get things through. And no matter how many times I ran the test, yeah, this is weird. The numbers sort of drop here, and then they pick back up. And this, so this is rest. This is web speed. So this is all the 200 milliseconds. The longer it takes on the server, which makes sense, because you're tying up those agents longer. So you're probably queuing longer on the front end. But no matter how many times I ran this, something always seemed to happen around that 4K size. And maybe that happens to be because I'm on Windows. Is it the default 4K block size? Maybe there's something going on. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Because man cannot live on averages alone. And as we're going to see, there were some ramp-up times involved. And so when there's ramp-up, that's going to skew your averages. So I can't live by that chart. So again, I marked down all the times for request duration. This is coming off of the WTV man and ASB man dash Q, looking at that information. Again, things relatively, not too bad. The request duration, we're topping out maybe around 2 seconds, but again, that's an average. This one here, this is rest, which, yeah, it was all over the place, but again, it's more averages. QDef. This one, I can't explain. This is web speed. Basically, it seemed that no matter how I ran the test, and again, this could be an operating system thing, I hit a QDef of about 60, and that's about as far as it went. And best I can tell is maybe there's a process limit on Windows. It won't let something spawn. Maybe HTTP daemon can't spawn more than 60 processes, which those processes would be your CJIT. I looked at the worker threads under Apache. I tried tweaking that. Didn't really make any difference. App server, it ramped up. I mean, the QDef went way up on that one. As you see, it went up sometimes as almost to like 180 or so. So, app server had a queue. Web speed just seemed to top out, but yet it still fulfilled all the requests. So, unexplained, I'm skipping that one. So, because it hit some sort of a limit, I can't claim that one as a reasonable test. So, I said, all right, screw it. Let's just look at the numbers. So, this is what happens, rest speed versus rest. And of course, every test I kept coming back, what is with this hockey stick at the beginning? And basically every dot that you see, this graph was drawn on at 500 millisecond intervals. So 1, 2, that's 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So roughly 8 or so seconds, and this is why I cranked up my time to 20, because I was starting to see the same API every time. And so that's 1 kilobyte file. No latency, so that should be like the best case. 4 kilobytes, everything's slowly starting to creep upwards. 18K, huh?
You have 10 agents too, right?
Yeah, this is all 10 agents.
Your hockey stick is for every agent.
Well, there's a couple of different theories I have here. One is maybe there's something going on, it just happens to be that it's about 8 to 10 seconds, maybe somewhere along the way there's something going on with each app server agent. Or, what's probably more likely, watching, and I don't have the charts for this, watching the Process Explorer on Windows, memory went up on Tomcat. And talking to some other people at our organization, we've seen this with other tools. Whenever we're running Tomcat, we're running something that latches into Tomcat, maybe runs reports, there's that initial memory bloat. And what we're thinking is that it's essentially allocating more memory to handle the requests, and then eventually it gets to the point where, okay, I've got enough memory, I can fulfill all the requests, and then it's like it just flushes that queue, and it says, all right, I got enough, and pushes everything through. Meanwhile, WASB just chugging along. Because after the tests, the HTTP daemons, they don't change much in terms of memory usage, but that Tomcat, the Java EXE behind Tomcat, I tracked down the PID for it, that definitely loaded up. And so I think once it hits some point that it's got enough memory, it's happy.
Did you try to set the min and max memory on the when you started the JVM?
As I said, I didn't. I left it as is.
Okay.
So I didn't want to try to skew too many results. I want to make this as easy as possible to reproduce if you want. But then came this one. So 70K ain't nobody happy. So really the larger the data packets, and the reason why I went 70K was, you know, we're definitely well beyond the 32K limit. We're definitely hitting some long charge or some other large data structure handling this data and sending it back. Everybody just kind of struggles with that. So it doesn't really matter what technology. There's a bit of up and down. And I think this one, every time that I ran the test for REST, it really bounced. And I think it probably goes through periods where it can fulfill all the requests and queues up a bit, and fulfills the request and queues up a bit. Yes?
Did you run JConsole against Tomcat to check for garbage collection?
No, I did not. But I am thinking that there is some garbage collection going on probably behind the scenes eventually. All right, so starting over. So now, smallest data packet, we cranked up our latency on the back end. So let's say this is 100 millisecond query. So relatively same thing as we got before. Check the time. About the same as before, again, cranking up. So this is, just for reference, this is about 2.4 seconds. REST is down here well below a second. So again, there's that initial ramp up, but then after that, it seems perfectly happy. It actually definitely outperforms WASB as far as, you know, specific data packets, certain amount of time. Again, numbers start coming together as you start cranking up the file size. It's like at some point you can't do much more to get that data out of the system any faster. So at this point, this is HTTP daemons, be it Tomcat or Apache, is waiting to get that data back out to the client so it can start serving the next request. And then lastly, 200 milliseconds. Again, this really does kind of make sense. You're on the back end, you're taking more time, you're tying up the agents longer, so you can't fulfill the request as much. So this is basically showing that central queuing that's going on. Again, cranking up the file sizes. So, I don't quite know. There again is that 4K. It's like things seem to behave a little better. Like even REST kind of mellowed out for this particular one. Again, we're back to jagged lines, but everybody's still following about that same trend. Just as file sizes go up, so does the performance basically becomes indistinguishable. So, how many requests can we handle with an error? Well, I'm sure this is going to vastly depend on your configuration. If you've got a 16-way box with 16 gigs of memory, I'm sure you're going to push through more requests than I did. In fact, we already saw that I can push through way more requests with just the HTTP daemons alone than once I started bringing in more technology behind those daemons. Depending on the number of agents, I'm sure I could crank up the agent count to 20 each. And that, I'm sure, too, would improve performance. So what does make a difference? Well, agents, you're going to only be able to handle so many requests. The payload, I believe, does put more of the bottleneck at the HTTP daemon, because once the app server or WASB serves that data up, it has to hand it back through. And of course, larger data packets, you're waiting for that data to come back. And of course, this is all from the point of view of JMeter, which is making the request and then waiting for that request to come back. Processing, this is a bottleneck at the broker's agent. So again, longer, more time you take tying up that agent, well, of course, that agent then is not serving the request.
Yes.
If you try to measure the latency, so say the
request comes in,
except by connection, it's a valid request. But if you measure the start and finish time, you see that up, and it gets the net time, then you have the gross time.
Stop getting ahead of me. All right. So that's a good point. I'm going to hold on to that one for just a second and talk about the latency and how long it actually takes for those CGIPs.
Did you say why you said that you see why I'm responding to 200 milliseconds?
Actually, yes. I do not actually have that in the slide. I stopped at 200 because as soon as I got up to the largest file size for 200 milliseconds, I started to start seeing like a 0.% of errors. And then I tried cranking up like 300. And then even at the lowest file size, I was starting to get that percentage of errors. And if I could the full file size, the largest file size, I was in like double digits of errors. So it's like I started really getting, so basically I found the limits of my particular test situation. So I was able to get all of those tests comfortably within my, what I consider my allotted horsepower.
It is probably the broker.
Right. And I had run all the tests originally with 5 agents, and yeah, that I could push through about half as much. So basically, I doubled my agents, got double the throughput.
So it's your cumulative.
Yeah. But I didn't want to crank it up too much. I figured 10, it's about right. I know most of my clients I have between 10 and 15 agents running with me on web speed. So I figured that's probably closer to maybe a mild production environment. Like for development, I'm using maybe 2 or 3. Okay, so trade-off. There's definitely a trade-off in Tomcat. Java is multi-threaded, and I actually turned on the thread count on the Process Explorer, and I watched the number of threads ramp up on Java EXE. So you've got few processes, many threads. The opposite is true of web speed. You've got more processes. It's that fork and exec of CGIP each time. Tomcats that lag, again, I'm theorizing that it's probably more a Java issue, or a memory issue with Java, that just with a little tweaking could be improved, maybe increase that initial heap size or minimum amount. Probably would then make it a little happier. And I'm sure over time that would be subject to garbage collection. I let it go for a while. I never really saw the memory come down much, but I'm sure left long enough it would. WebSpeed at least, the times were pretty high, but it was pretty solid, and it did buckle after a while, but it was consistent. I think that time to fork and exec is, though still its weakness. Yeah, I probably should have put this one earlier, but yeah, as I started cranking up more and more, that error percentage went up, so I knew that I'm done here. I can't rely on the test anymore, because I'm getting too many errors.
Sorry, testing.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about this, did you see in the broker log file that requests were being rejected?
No. I think, if anything, what I was seeing was more on Apache seemed to buckle under the load first, because I think WebSpeed could not.
Once you did that, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you did that, that's right. The broker started being
impacted. Yeah.
So the broker.
So yeah, but again, it comes back to that, I hit that 60, the queue depth of 60 on web speed. So if it's obviously not queuing anymore, then at some point it's the web speed message is just coming back to Apache saying, I can't fulfill this, and that's when it's starting to send back the errors. So yeah, it was more on the HTTP daemon side that I saw the errors. Yeah. That's the other thing I did not test, but. Actually addressing, here's Frank. So what happens if you don't crank it and push it to the limits? Well, this is where the biggest bit of BS comes in. So 500 here, we cut that number of users in half. It's relatively, they're relatively flat, but no matter what test, however long I run it, there's still that discrepancy. There's your CGIF, right? That's it. Because as far as we can tell, we can see, I'm sure Robert's supposed to be happy with this one. Yeah, that plumbing between Tomcat and the app server, that's so direct. The time it takes to start a thread is nothing to do with the time it takes to crank up a new process. But yeah, and this was probably a nice, easygoing test here, about 10 to 20 milliseconds was about what I saved. All right, so my averages were slightly favoring bus speed only because of that initial hockey stick, which again, I point out, is because I was doing a cold start. And like I said, I was rebooting between my tests just to make sure that I had a clean slate each time. But in the end, turns out that might have been skewed my results. Larger response, this one, I can't grab anymore. Larger response packet, but then again, I yell at everyone who's trying to shove that huge data packet from their API calls. Your data packet should not be that large. Longer processing, again, you're tying up the agents, so therefore you're going to have more queuing because the agent's busy, it's not serving requests. Tight connection between Tomcat.
I'm sure, yes, so that's if we can avoid the CGIF process, I'm sure web speed will improve, at least sure until we stress it again. Weird stuff happens when you put it on the edge. There's probably still room for performance tuning. Again, I could have increased the memory size on Tomcat. I'm sure there were some things I probably could have turned on in Apache. Turning on the keep alive, I did end up trying some tests with like turning on keep alives and that sort of thing on Apache. Didn't really make a huge bit of difference, so far as I can tell. Going forward. So when it comes to the question that we asked originally, is it worth it to move the rest for performance? Well, yeah, but it also is important to use the right tool for your situation. I mean, if you're going to go the route of the mobile development for mobile builder, and then yeah, go rest, of course. If your situation is you just need to handle some light Ajax and you're already running web speed, well, there's no reason to just drop web speed and move. But again, whatever works for your situation. All right, so I'm gonna end it there. But 15 minutes or so left. I actually have my VM booted up. Does anyone actually want to try to run some of the benchmarks and tweak whatever you'd like?
I do have a question.
Yeah.
What are you returning from both WebSpeed and the App Store?
That's just a JSON data packet. And actually that one I can...
And how is it mapped in REST? Are you just returning?
Oh, that's a loaded question. Okay, there's... Just real quick, there's the JSON data packet. Like I said, it's just returning one object that has, in this case, essentially a temp table in it. So 10 rows with 10 fields each. And that's being spit out exactly the same on Apache, or excuse me, on WebSpeed and App Server. They're both being generated by the OE11 JSON parser. I'm creating an object, I'm popular, dynamically creating my rows and fields. Web speed, all I'm doing is I'm doing an out long to output it like a text HTML document. Apache is a bit more direct. I have an output parameter, and then that gets mapped essentially to the body of the document via the rest of that, the way they have the drag and drop stuff set up. Yes.
So what I'm doing is
I'm
just returning the rest of that actually.
So what are you saying as the parameters?
Well, I'm curious, like when you're not quite
they say at a certain point they need twice the number of resources, right? So in essence, so you start with a small amount of money and you double that. Do you double the throughput or less than that? So in where exactly measures of closure?
Well, spawn the first part, that sounded like the ramping scenario. I don't have the plug-in for it, but there's a stair-stepping plug-in for generators that would let you do that sample, like run it with X number of connections, then ramp up to the next level, then ramp up again, or ramp down, so you can simulate those different...
So there's like three sections here. There's my 10 agents are fulfilling all my requests, I'm not queuing. Then section two is my 10 agents are not fulfilling my request, but I'm queuing, but I'm not rejecting, so zero errors.
Yeah.
And then my third level is I've really gone beyond everything, and now I'm rejecting, and now I'm generating errors. So it'd be interesting to see where that stair step is in terms of
to see where it starts to break down. Brought some numbers.
I want to see you run it twice in a row.
Okay.
Because
all right.
You're postulating that the first run you're paying, your results are skewed because you think that the JVM is growing in memory. So.
Okay. So we'll maybe do this. We'll put the delay at maybe 10 milliseconds. So. So set that one. Request defaults for rest. For web speed, header stays the same. We'll run the, you want to see the 1K or the 4K.
4K was nice and clean.
Yeah. So tweak the toggle. Just reset that one. On. And we go. And then you'll watch up here in the corner. So we're going to run 1,000. Requests, and you see it spools up and then it starts to spool down. So that's stacking up all the requests to go out and then slowly responding. Yeah, and then it's actually getting responses back. And you see this is REST actually pretty much keeping up with it, because you can see it never got above like maybe one or two time. Now we're spooling up for Apache, for web speed. And actually, you can kind of see this in real time. I've got a summary report going down here, so you can see actual kilobytes per second, min max times. So we're almost to the 1,000 samples. There we go. All right, we'll do this real quick. So looking at the response time graph, it's that 500 millisecond delay. So there's our REST with your hockey stick. Response times here. 500 milliseconds. So there's web speed of 6.5 seconds is as high as it went. About 2.5 is about as low. Okay, so do it again.
Yeah.
Alright, so clear the data and run again.
Let's see if the hockey stick goes a little bit.
Yeah.
Because web speed shouldn't change because he was already running
second
time, right?
Yeah. Web speed is not what I'm too concerned about. It's that, I think, the Tomcat memory. But I mean, that would still be good to know that, you know, the first time you start up, let's say you're under heavy load, probably the last thing you want to do is shut down Tomcat. So there's at least one thing possibly learned. Let's look at the summary report. There we go. So everybody's done. Now look at that. About average 22 milliseconds versus 44 milliseconds. We're going to display our graphs. There's web speed, and there's rest. So rest, that's between 20 and 30 milliseconds. Web speed is between, on average, about between 30 and 40, but still
no
has
more spike.
Yeah, no more hockey stick. So the other thing we can do is say maybe we do this over 40 seconds. We got 40 seconds to spare, right? 40 seconds per test. 40 seconds. We'll clear out the results again. So web speed users. Yep, let's go. Let it rip. See what it does.
This is fun. Doing more fun than the reboot.
There's all kinds of things, like you can actually see all the data as it comes back, so I can capture all the data packets that actually come back. So if you're not just load testing and you're, you know, stepping through all your APIs, you can actually see the results, the JSON data coming back. And there's different reports that you can run. This one shows slightly different statistics. Some of the reports go down. There we go. So we finished early.
Average is
16 milliseconds.
But you have 120 spikes.
But you see what's interesting also is the throughput is about the same kilobytes per second relative to the same range. For the most part, REST and WebSphere are both seem to be keeping up as far as the number of requests. They can still serve them. It's just a matter of do they come back with the same amount of time. Okay, so we're done. So 16 versus 32. Again, the last one was 22 versus 44. So there's web speed between 28 and 35 on average. And there's rest between 15 and 18. Here, it might be easier if that one's about 40. I can set a max scale value. So cut that off at about 40. Cut this one, scale max at 40. Let's double that. Since I have two different graphs being generated, so there we go. So scale's the same. There's web speed. There's rest.
Very little.
But I mean, that's we increased the time, but we didn't increase the load. So this is probably a
smoother.
It's smoother because you're not queuing as much. And I'm sure if I looked at the stats behind the scenes, I would also see that it's not queuing. But again, we've lost the hockey stick. There's a little bit of something up in the front, but then again, there's also a little bit of something in the middle, so it's not. But again, a bit of BS there in the middle. Yes?
Let me just throw this out there for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're just discussing here. A couple things you didn't talk about is there's a lot of classes in Tomcat that are being used for a given request, and you didn't talk about the JVM configuration much. I said you said you have
Whatever is installed with OE 11.3,
which
I'm not sure. So, OpenEdge Tomcat, does it actually say here?
Okay, give it that.
Tomcat 7.0.3.0.
It says there, yeah. JDK 1.7.
That's Tomcat, but not
the Tomcat. Oh, okay.
On top it
says
JDK 1.7.
Yeah, I'm running 1.7. I knew that. Okay,
anyway,
Tomcat 7.
A couple things you might want to consider to make sure you're running the server version of the JVM. It has different, the Java optimizes stuff as it runs. So every now and then you'll see a spike. That's either the garbage, maybe your computer hits. You're hitting either the garbage collector limit. So if you're on a 1.7 or even a 1.8 JVM, make sure you're using the new garbage collector, the G1.
Okay.
Also make sure you're running the server version of the JVM. Probably the REST.
So basically go to a JRE, not a JDK.
Well,
sir,
it kind of doesn't. But use the server version because it changes when it optimizes class codes and kind of like data codes. Macy spikes, which may be what some of those are, is the optimized compiler theory. And also the garbage collector, your sawtooth. Run JConsole against Tomcat and see if you get a lot of garbage collections and adjust parameters and initial stuff that will help with that office space. Get into the middle that you saw, just move that out a little bit.
I think as soon as you have a 1 gig of that, 2 gig of the machine, the JVM automatic.
You can force it.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Is that?
As of
based on your system memory, yeah, or do you actually have to tell it here's your minimum?
No, I think it's your system memory because it sizes. I don't remember. I remember seeing this because it changed from 1.5 to 1.6 or 1.4 to 1.5. It changed. So you're like, oh crap, if I'm on a phone, it's different than if I'm on a phone.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. If you want to stick around, I can certainly run a few more.
Just a comment.
Yeah.
Jquery is giving the talk about the SIP gap server.
Okay.
To a large extent, for you. This group often has similar types of slides but comparing direct calls, call against the old server architecture calls against the new one. So we're very.
I do need you certified. Oh,
okay. All right, thank you.
I hope it was informative.
No, mainly I was tired of getting asked because my boss kept asking.
Should we go to rest?
Well, yeah. Well, not just should we go to rest, but I wonder how much faster this is. Well, it is faster. Yes. It.
But it's not faster because in the real world,
2 + 2 = 5 for certain values of 2.
Yeah, exactly. In the real world, nobody really cares. And most of your clients aren't running at that.
I see we're using the surveys appropriately.
Yeah.
Get some use out of them.
How'd you get the Black Mac? Dustin.
That's a really cool presentation. Very interesting.
Thank you. I know that I did things wrong. I'm not a Java guy, so I don't know the ins and outs. So I'm sure there are so many omissions.
Keeping your baseline is constant. So
but I figured, but as long as I don't touch anything that I don't know what I'm doing,
oh, I didn't see this, so
I'm leaving it alone.
Performance numbers.
Oh, is it?
Trying to measure, is it? Like, I was just saying,
the back of the day when we were doing the client server, app server.
And there's so much to smooth out some of those.
I know.
Remember, Java is a four-letter word.
Yes, it is.
Except half our products.
The other conclusion I got on this was you can
switch but the end users, though, don't. They were not. All of the end users are not the Java people.
Yes.
I don't know why. That was a marketing thing of me.
But if you set it in the Tomcat world and you're doing REST and you're deploying Tomcat, you got to understand Tomcat because out of the box, it's insecure and it's slow.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, considering that I had to turn on the compression.
That gzip thing is really huge.
Oh, yeah.
I need to go bug Mike J about that.
Why is that not enabled by default? I'm not blaming it. I'm just saying
that
it was such
general,
a huge difference when I first turned it on.
What's
I was like,
this?
Holy crap.
Is the garbage collector, the parallel garbage
collector? No. The just turning on compression in Tomcat. Because, I mean, the first thing I did with Apache is I throw mod deflate on and have the compression going. I'll pull my.
Yeah, especially if you're doing REST in the mobile world.
And so we'll take
think about your users. You just sent them a 200K packet over their wireless download on
3G.
They're screaming.
That they're paying
And then you turn on compression and you get an instant 4 times.
Well, that's why you ship. That's the first time you ship it on. The compression. And then they complain. You turn on. Like you guys are awesome.
REST is targeted, not is at web in a lot of your users.
That's like, okay, I just upgraded to 11.3, and all of my prompts I'm going to change from pause 1 to pause 0.5.
Hey, I just improved system 50%.
Yeah.
So tell me what this Tomcat thing is.
Tomcat.
Because we have dash server dash XMS XMX. Max perm size and use parallel garbage collection. Is there something else we should be doing?
Do you have dash
this
server?
This is our best, dash server. This is our best practice performance document for Tomcat for like QAE and stuff.
Oh, okay. So the compression equals on.
dash compression equals wrong?
Yeah, which is so in the HTTP module.
Oh, okay, so you have to...
Yes, it is.
Mod deflate, mod expires, mod headers, all of that stuff is turned off by default, but it's invaluable for controlling the caching of the files. Because we'll turn on mod expires and say, expire all static files after a month, but JSON, anything that's that's application JSON, text JSON, text XML, make those expire immediately to make sure that every time you request a data type, that data type, that it comes through without being cached. That way none of you don't run the risk of any of your data potentially being cached by the browser.
So that's another one that I turn on because inevitably there'll be some data packet that doesn't make it through and they're like, my data's not changing, but I see in the log that it's changing. Well, is it being cached by the browser?
You can control that.
Or the proxy or the
what's that?
Control that by file type?
Well, it's when you configure it by mine type, but it's all in Apache. You turn on the module.
Are you guys using dash Q and
you recomment the line back in?
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Because normally Apache has all these modules.
Oh, it is?
They're just commented out.
I was talking about for when we do it.
There's no way to do that.
Tell him. I got nothing to do with him.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was Bravepoint, but he's DBA, so.
Right.
Were you running dash Q?
This is Geek Squad.
In R code?
No.
That makes a big difference in the run times. If you think about it, if you have 10 milliseconds of compile, even though you run an SSD, you still have all the layers.
I think I compiled the code and I made sure not to run with compile on the fly. So I am running R code.
There's a couple other shortcuts you can take, but compile on the fly skips the profile search. But run R code and run with dash Q, in the runtime, not the web.
And that's the dash Q on the web speed startup.
And the app server.
Oh, okay.
But other actions.
If you're skipping the compile, say you have 10 millisecond request, right? Just run your runtime. Well, if you take out that 10 milliseconds of compile as well, your request gets cut in half and your throughput goes up by two. So there's so many little.
But yeah, I mean, the whole thing, when I was running just the like day-to-day, nice, easygoing tests, there was that gap that was consistent throughout every test that I ran. But it was under load, that's when I started seeing all those differences. And I'm sure most of them can either be explained away or be very easily configured to not be an issue.
JConsole is huge, especially if you can open up JConsole, just attach it to the JVM, and you look, there's four charts, one of them's garbage, but the one's threads, and one's like CPU or something like that.
Okay.
And if you'll see a sawtooth like that, your garbage collector going nutty. So if you see like sawtooths like that, and then it sometimes can come out in your data, and if you start getting out into like 10,000 classes,